sounding like a tour guide. As they picked up even more speed, Ori frowned and twisted the family ring on her finger. The ring with the tiny brilliant blue corundum stone set in the distinct diamond shape of Sias. As the second largest but most intense of their sons, the real Sias now filled her eyesight even more than it had back on the planet's surface. Unfortunately, she could also smell overheating deflectors, like burning rubber. Did he really have to jerk them around so much? This time, the impact alarm insisted they veer away from a restricted zone.
"Immediately!" screeched the buzzer voice.
"What's that all about?" asked Orianan. Margus silenced it with a tap to the flashing amber screen.
"No problem, Your Highness," he told her, just before they flew straight into a blinding white light and every alarm in the pod went off at once.
"Margus!"
Orianan held a forearm to her face, but that did not help her as they tumbled out of control into a maelstrom of warning lights and screeching alarms. So this was how her life would end? She broke out in a sweat and gagged at the nose-burning smell of fried electronics.
"Do something!"
Orianan cried. She coughed and held on as the inside of the pod warmed to sizzling. In the blinding light, she couldn't even make out Margus sitting next to her.
"Just a sec," mumbled Margus.
And as quickly as the light had overpowered them, it suddenly blinked out, leaving them spinning slowly, silently, and in the dark. A lone alarm buzzed once, then died to a pitiful whimper.
"Are you going to tell me what just happened?"
Ori slowly lowered her arm and blinked her eyes, but the horrible flash of light and heat still echoed in her eyesight. It would take several moments to get used to normal space light once more. Margus shook his head and tapped at the control panel in front of him, as if he were trying to wake it back up. A few of the dials flickered, but not all.
"Weirdest thing I've ever seen."
He looked around and behind them. "I think we got caught between two of those big solar reflectors and..."
"And what?"
"And it's probably a good thing we didn't stay back there."
He jerked his thumb and tapped the instrument panel once more.
"Looks like it cooked us a little."
"A little?"
Ori swallowed hard, wishing she could just stop this ride and get out right there.
"Look, Margus,"
she finally whispered, choking back the bitterness that curled her tongue.
"I don't know what we're doing here, and my dad's really going to be upset with us when we land. If we land. We've got to turn around right now."
"That's the one thing we can't do."
Margus was sweating under his silver flight helmet visor, too.
"We can't go back that way. Better just enjoy the view."
"There's the Treon, see?" The Treon, which meant three lights in the ancient Koristan tongue, was made up of three suns. Regev, a red giant, never blinked as it cast a perpetual rosy glow over the bright side of Korista. This rosy glow was offset by the white-blue of Sias, a much brighter and more intense flame. Between the two suns, the bright side of Korista never saw darkness. Helion, the smallest distant yellow sun some people missed, stayed in the background. Together, the three suns joined to create the flickering violet hue of the pretty Koristan sky, though it had turned darker the higher they climbed. But right now, Orianan wasn't impressed. She peered up through the clear plexi bubble over their heads, the only barrier between them and the cold vacuum of space and the searing light of one of those space mirrors.
"You sure we can't just go back?" she asked, shaking off her jitters.
"I'll get us back, Your Highness."
By this time, he'd removed a panel and was yanking out circuits.
"Just have to override a couple systems and we'll be good to go. My dad showed me how to do this once." While you were up.